Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them. And they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. We have a new parish website, and I'm paying more attention to my homilies because actually we record it and then it's put on the website. So I got to be careful what I say, which has always been the case, but very true now. So if you were up early this morning, if you were up around 6 a.m., you got to see the sun. I mean, without clouds, sunrise is about 6:50, something like that. But it was clear, mostly clear, and it was beautiful. And there's nothing quite like seeing the sun after a long period of clouds. It was real nice yesterday afternoon as well. How the sun, as it shines on the earth, how it just illuminates things. It makes everything look, well, sunnier. In today's scriptures, we hear about how a terrifying darkness envelops Abraham. That's in anticipation of what's something God wants to teach him. And then Peter, James, and John, they too are surrounded by a cloud before a voice from the heaven reveals Christ's nature to them. What the Lord wants to do for us is make that same revelation, reveal to us His glory and His power in our everyday lives. He wants to bring light and peace to clouds and darkness that might hamper us today. Our Lenten practice will set the stage for God to reveal His glory to us. I think that's one of the reasons we do our prayer, fasting, and giving of alms. It's so that we can open our hearts to receive the revelation God wants to give to each one of us. Our Lenten practice, it gives us the possibility of waking up to the wonder of being a disciple of Christ. And so we not only have to decide on a spiritual practice during Lent, but then we have to do it. We have to make it so. The story in the Old Testament, what the biblical author was trying to convey by having Abram fall into a trance. The scripture says he fell into a trance and then was enveloped by a terrifying darkness. And all that was to set the stage, because then God was going to confirm a covenant that he had made with Abram. And that's what all the animals were there for, because those were all animals that were used in a covenant ceremony that was common in the ancient Near East. And basically, God was promising Abram, saying to you, "I will be your God, and I will always be with you, and by this covenant, I promise that I will never not be your God. I will be there for you. You for your part. And then Abram says, the response that Abram had was to have faith. And the scripture says that God considered he was in a right relationship with God because he had faith. That's what Abram's task was, to practice faith. And as long as he did that, then he would be able to receive and understand and live the fullness of God's promise. Because God was going to keep his promise no matter what. But what God asks of us during these days of Lent is that we practice our faith. And one way we can practice our faith is through the discipline of prayer, fasting, and the giving of alms. And when we do that, we will open up a space in our own lives where we'll be able to have God's revelation made known to us in a more profound way. And Lent's a good season to do that. On Ash Wednesday, we heard the prophet Joel. He said, proclaim a fast, call an assembly. Everyone stop what you're doing and draw near to the Lord. And Lent's a better time to do that. Advent is also a season of preparation for a big feast, but there's so many cultural celebrations. But I would guess that you have not been invited to one Lenten party. And you have not been invited to one even Easter party during these days of Lent. It just doesn't happen. It's a more focused time. Even Mother Nature outside, there's not a lot going on, and we're a little tired of winter, but it's not yet spring. It's a good time to focus on who are we as a spiritual people. And it's a good thing because we can end up on autopilot. And even with the practice of Lent, we might just automatically do something because we've done it in the past. I invite us all to intentionally choose what we want this Lenten season to be for us, so we can take advantage of this opportunity to not have business as usual, but to really get an insight into what God has planned for us. I think having the intention to decide to do something, I think it changes how we experience God. One example I would give, and it's a very simple example. Let's just say that I decide to give up eating chocolate brownies for Lent. So I make that choice. Two things happen as soon as I make that statement to myself or to another person. A, I really want a chocolate brownie. Immediately, that happens. Even if I had never thought of one, once I say I'm not going to do it, then I'm going to recognize every chocolate brownie that there ever is around me. And then B, another thing happens. I begin to wrestle with the dynamic of wanting that brownie, and why do I want that brownie? And what about all the people in the world who never have a chocolate brownie? It begins to make me think about, and so this little action of just not having that, it is beginning to deepen my awareness, deepen my solidarity. And also as I feel those, you won't have a hunger pain from not having a chocolate brownie, but if it was something like on a day of fast, when we feel our hunger, we begin to think, there's almost 2 billion people in the world that's the way they feel all the time. And there's no hope that they will ever feel any other way, that hunger. And they won't get to eat a chocolate brownie when Easter comes. And so again, all this thinking and this reflecting, it allows me to deepen my understanding of what is God calling me to as a disciple. So that moment of fasting, when we do it intentionally, it becomes an opportunity for God to reveal more of the truth about the human condition, the truth about who I am, the truth about what God wants each one of us to be. That's what the plan is for Lent, is when we embark on our Lenten practices, we begin to see the world in a new way through God's grace. And it's a combination of God's grace and our willingness to have a new understanding. So as we practice prayer, as we make a discipline of doing some kind of prayer, what we'll experience is our interior, we may feel some consolation, I hope we do, but also we'll feel a lot of resistance, we won't want to pray the prayer, we'll feel bored, we'll feel like it's not doing anything, but all of that is part of the experience of learning how to rest in God's presence even when it doesn't feel comfortable. And as we give alms, as we give away some of our money, or as we share some of our precious time with others, we will realize that the way we had organized our life maybe wasn't the best way, and God will show us that we maybe didn't need what it is we're giving away, or maybe we really do have time to spend with that special person as we generously give away some of our time. That's the way I think new spiritual life comes to us. It comes to us in little steps, a series of small insights, small successes in which we practice a discipline, and then God rewards us with a glimpse of Himself. He says, I am here, I am with you, I will provide for you, I will do everything for you. Now, I can't promise that God's glory will be as obvious as it was for the apostles in the gospel on the Mount of Transfiguration. I can't promise that that everything will just shine and be brilliant with the presence of God. That was a special moment that Peter, James, and John had with Jesus. But Jesus was giving them a glimpse of Easter. He was giving them a glimpse of what will be and what is really the truth at the very core of our being, that we do shine the glory of God. As much as it's been clouded over by everyday life and our difficulties and by the sinful choices we have made, that's still the truth about who we are at our core. We are brilliantly shining the presence of God. So I'm reminded of Thomas Merton, who was a Trappist monk, lived in Gethsemane, and he passed away in 1968. But before then, he had spent, as a Trappist would do, he had spent quite a bit of time in prayerful meditation. He was also a hermit. He lived in a hermitage. And one time he wrote in his journal that after an extended time in his hermitage, and of course hours and hours of meditation, he went to Louisville, Kentucky, which is not too far from Gethsemane, and he said, when I looked around at the people, I wish they could have seen what I was seeing. Because as I looked around, I saw each person, and each person was glowing like the sun. So something happened to him in his prayer where he was able to recognize each person's radiance glowing there on the streets of Louisville, Kentucky. And again, I don't believe, but you may have that insight. That sounds like a gifted insight that was given to a gifted person. But each one of us can have our own ways where we will recognize how God is radiant within us and within those around us. Perhaps it will be in the twinkle of our child's eyes. Maybe it will just be in the smile of someone we love in our family, or just in a look of contentment that they have in the course of the day. We can hear God's voice in the thank you of someone that we have helped through a sharing of resources, and they simply say thank you, and we hear that echo of God's gratitude. I see God's divine grace radiating in the smiles that you share as you greet one another at Mass and as you offer the sign of peace to each other. I hear God's presence in your amen at communion time when you say with conviction, I believe, amen. I think God also gives us moments of illumination. He gives us aha moments when we're faithful to our prayer, and after a time of prayer or praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament, all of a sudden we just know what to do. The light bulb goes on. It's clear. Oh, that's what I'm going to do. And it comes to us as a gift through that time of prayer. See, now these are just glimpses of the glory, and as human beings we don't get the full view. But we do get signs, we do get wonders, we do get hints here and there. I think that's what the Lord invites us to make the most of. So my brothers and sisters, in this second week of Lent, let's have the intention to follow Christ. If we haven't decided what our Lenten practice will be of prayer, fasting, giving of alms, today's a good day to do so. And pick something you can do. God's not looking for heroics. God's looking for basic actions that are realistic for our lives, that are showing our intention to open ourselves up to God's grace. That's what the Lord is looking for. So let's each take on some discipline of prayer. Let's test ourselves with some fasting, and that way we'll come into a deeper solidarity with the whole world. be willing to give some alms, give away what we don't need, maybe give away a little bit of something that we do need, and then we'll feel God's abundance in our lives. I invite each one of us this week to choose the glory, choose the light of Christ, and then it will shine in all we do.